Chapter 11. Bad Opinions. The next day, Toshinori tried not to get overly invested in his first culinary contribution to Aizawa's health, and thoroughly failed. Around 6, just as homeroom ended, he barely managed to lean in and open a book as Aizawa slouched in. This granted only the vaguest of impressions that he hadn't been poised at the staff room table with a short stack of bento boxes and watching the door. Pausing to shuck his capture weapon, his co-teacher took a seat next to him and reached for the meticulously wrapped bundles after the barest of hesitations. Like he'd finally accepted their deal. Toshinori smiled, safely hidden in his book. He looked up when he heard Aizawa clear his throat and found him tilting the open box toward him, with his brows high. Toshinori grinned and shook his head. "No, no, it's for you. For today and tomorrow." It would have been the full week, had he not caved to Naomasa's pining and his own nerves. But it was done. In an effort to soothe Aizawa's instant frown, he added lightly, "Extra spicy, so not exactly my fare, my friend. Don't worry about me. Please eat." Aizawa's displeasure only deepened as he put the pieces together a little more quickly than the older teacher would have liked. It was difficult, giving Aizawa actual things, if just because he would analyze them to death before accepting them, if he accepted them. Toshinori would never forget being forced to retreat in defeat from Eraserhead's classroom on the very first day of staff, clutching a full box of chocolates and utterly chilled by the younger hero's instant dismissal. "I don't like this sort of thing, and what need is there to become closer?" Aizawa, disdain for the simple gesture was absolutely palpable, and had chased Toshinori for weeks, leaving no room to imagine anything but future animosity between them. Awash in the difference, Toshinori's mouth twitched happily. How far they had come. "It hardly makes sense to cook something for others that you can't eat." Aizawa was in the midst of grumbling, plainly accusatory, even as he properly unwrapped the bento and placed the cat napkin aside. He cracked the lid and sniffed hopefully. Cautious. But he was a cautious man. "As it hardly makes sense to do for others what you won't do for yourself," Toshinori agreed, the epitome of mild knowingness. His tone verged on smug, but barely avoided it due to his angelic face. Now Aizawa regarded him with suspicion, like he was the one learning too quickly for comfort. "Well," Aizawa said primly. He was clearly mocking him and his nervous little word, but Toshinori just rocked back in his chair and laughed aloud, struck. The sound startled even him. It was deep and golden and easy. Something new about it, or something old. Maybe the best of both, without the bitterness of either. Whatever it was, it felt lovely. Aizawa looked plainly startled by the sound, but wasted no time on expressing it, instead silently setting into his bribe-slash-dinner with the force of the 3 skipped meals that preceded it. Toshinori retreated behind his book with another amused smile, actually able to read now that the first few bites had disappeared and Aizawa didn't immediately unearth a cigarette from his jumpsuit and light up, driven to the dark side by his meager culinary skills. He wasn't expecting praise or even explicit satisfaction, but just the simple forwardness with which the younger hero dug in and scooped rice and methodically ate his way to the bottom of the box with his papers balanced in his other hand, given adequate fuel to continue his guidance of the next generation of heroes, was enough. In that mundane little moment, Toshinori was happy, useful, and strangely, solidly happy, and still not at all reading his book. The story would still be there after Aizawa left, after all. "Less onions next time, and more rice," Aizawa grunted, sucking the spoon clean and shoving the empty bento his way. Toshinori snorted, eyeing the remnants of what should have been a 2-day supply. He should have figured. "Yes, Aizawa-sensei." His co-teacher shot him a glare, but his mouth twitched at the edges. "You're damn right, Aizawa-sensei. I don't see you grating." he said under his breath, the picture of righteous irritation as he spread yet more papers in front of him on the table, uncapping the terrifying red grading pen with his teeth, and setting to work. Merciless, monotonous work of the weekly variety, which was getting harder to do with the workload of finals bearing down on them. Ah, oh, Toshinori said with satisfaction, wagging a long finger. But I graded yesterday. We have a schedule for a reason, you know. Funny how that schedule consistently leaves me with all the weekly quizzes. I just want you to be able to track the progress of your students as closely as you like. Toshinori made sure to tilt his head and blink owlishly. Some would consider that generous, Aizawa-kun. Aizawa made a scathing, incredulous sound, rolling his eyes, and the two heroes continued like that for a while, bickering back and forth about the responsibilities of teaching 1A, sliding in a joke here and there, and overall flexing the comfort of their odd bond that had surprisingly little to do with the rambunctious and promising class under their care. They didn't realize they were actually doing anything out of the ordinary, that is, flirting and being excruciatingly shameless about it, until the staff room door opened quietly and Cementos walked in, froze, and immediately walked out. The door slid shut with a short snap, and for a moment, the staff room was so quiet that they could hear the refrigerator ticking tiredly. Then Toshinori abruptly rocked back and started laughing, neck reddening with alarming speed. Aizawa kicked him under the table, which only worsened the laughing fit, then rose, glancing at the clock and hastily stuffing his papers into his bag. Well, wait, Toshinori wheezed, wiping his eyes with shaking hands. Aizawa, my man, where are you going?
Same place you should be, idiot,
he grumbled, swiping up his capture weapon and was gone. His exit, efficient as it was, still somehow left Toshinori time to stare after him, cheek on his fist. In the quiet, the older hero breathed deeply and grinned at absolutely nothing, still high on the warming tumble of laughter and the floating sensation in his head, then realized he was staring at the door with a blissful, dopey smile and drawing circles in the condensation on the table with his finger. Toshinori's gaunt face blanked, and maybe a month too late, he started to piece some things together. Not all the things, by any means, and still far too late. But the sparks of the connection he made were just bright enough to be subtly alarming. Very subtly alarming. Oh. Oh no. What? Oh what exactly was he doing?
Hey.
Toshinori's head snapped up and heat engulfed his face anew. Aizawa was hanging just inside the sliding door, arching an eyebrow in his general direction.
Come on, you too,
he muttered from the depths of his coiled reins, unmoving.
Or did you forget?
Oh my, no, of course I didn't, ha! The older hero flustered, rising and gathering his things and immediately dropping it all when his hands, in a panic, refused to cooperate. To his embarrassment, Aizawa waited stoically until he had gotten himself back together again, and they walked side by side down the hall and down the stairs, then outside as if nothing had happened. Nothing had happened, but still, just walking silently with Aizawa suddenly felt squeezed and odd and illicit somehow. It rattled him. Why? He couldn't place it. The older hero was so deep in thought about the looming feeling and their destination that he physically jumped when Aizawa stopped dead in his tracks on the middle of the campus green, calling in a loud, hard voice,
"Hey, what do you think you're doing?"
Toshinori blinked, craning to see what his co-teacher was scowling at. Barefoot on the grass of the training field and clad in baggy workout clothes, Shinzo staggered mid-punch in front of a vinyl combat dummy, scuffed heel swinging into the air with a zipping noise. Aizawa had likely waited until just the right moment to yell, and Toshinori had to once again admire the young man's pluck for continuing to train with such a relentless mentor. The interruption was one of Aizawa Shota's power moves, striking at exactly the wrong time to throw his opponents, or his students, or his fuck buddies, off balance and see how they would handle it. Shinzo coped by using the misplaced momentum to bend down, snatch up his towel, and throw it over his hair, rubbing and pulling and trotting over to a nearby bench. As recoveries went, not bad. The kid had style, and Aizawa clearly disliked that, judging from the infinitesimal tightening of the man's lip. Just a little more work, Sensei. I had time. The young man looked anything but confident as he said so, palming his water bottle back and forth and taking a long, ostentatious pull while looking at them, as if to say, "Look, I'm hydrating. See how responsible I am?" Then Shinzo grinned. "Oh, hey, Yagi-san." Toshinori waved at him meekly, then tucked his hand in his pocket when Aizawa shot him a glare that could peel wallpaper. He bit his lip and decided to be very interested in the grass until this little interaction was over. Not interfere, that is, as Aizawa seemed strangely irritable concerning the two of them, for reasons unknown. "Don't overdo it. Your body needs time to heal," Aizawa groused, just loud enough to be heard over the distance between them, regarding Shinzo suspiciously. Then, after a moment, "Are you sticking to the plan?" "Yes, Aizawa-sensei," he answered dutifully. "This is my last training for the week, and I'm prioritizing cardio to round out the strength training from earlier." Nodding, Aizawa flashed his mentee a thumbs up that was the most strangely unenthusiastic Toshinori had ever seen. Aizawa's talents were curious in nature, but always noteworthy. Who knew anyone could suck the joy out of a good thumbs up? "You're looking good. Keep it up." Shinzo's round face underwent a strange sort of twisting, but to Toshinori it was obvious he was trying not to smile at the rare praise. Ducking to obscure the rainbow of emotions, Shinzo nodded so deeply it was almost a bow, sweat flinging off his hair, and ran to attack the dummy with a whole new level of energy, obviously feeling the pro hero's eyes on him. Making sure Aizawa had already turned, Toshinori gave the boy a salute of his own, and the two teachers walked off together in pensive silence. That is, until Toshinori bumped his friend with a shoulder. "Shut up," Aizawa ordered instantly. Toshinori had no plans of shutting up, especially not before he'd even said anything. "That was amazing," he said under his breath, through a smile. Too close to Aizawa's ticklish ear, which was probably the main reason why the other man swatted him away. Probably. "We're not doing this." "You're going to be a very good mentor. You already are. Look at you." "I'm leaving. Bye," Aizawa said flatly, and took off at the quickest speed he could without breaking the illusion he was walking. Toshinori let him go, something solid and sparkling like pride welling in his scarred chest. Pride and something so much bigger, so much more liquefying. Something too big to name yet, if ever. "We're going to the same place, you know," the older hero called after him, voice warm and amused. Staff meeting in the main building, he finally remembered. Not senile yet. "And I'll see you when you get there and not a moment before," Aizawa yelled over his shoulder. "Slow down and give me some time to resent you, old man." Toshinori chuckled to himself, trying to convince himself that his grin wasn't a dopey one, even as his cheeks hurt from smiling so much, or so strongly. That man was such a softy. But there were some things he could miss in training a boy so close to his heart and his hurt. And that was where another set of eyes came in. And that was why there was a co and co-teachers. That's why Toshinori was there. Or so he hoped. And he hoped Aizawa felt the same. The next morning, when Toshinori came wandering not so purposefully around the track, Aizawa was practically waiting for him. He had seen Toshinori lingering longer and longer on the details of their morning training, with Aizawa catching him staring more often than not. And he could see the gears in the older hero's head turning. The only question was when they would click into place. He'd acquired enough confidence in the man's opinions not to dread it when Toshinori approached with a napkin full of fresh, very meat-based onigiri from the cafeteria and a sheepish smile. After the requisite comments on how early Toshinori was up and a brief commiseration over the fickle nature of sleep with finals drawing ever nearer, Yue's resident panderer surprised Aizawa by jumping right into it. He believed that Aizawa's training regimen was designed around his own speed-centric, flexible body type, and that focus was, at least a little, in error. After watching the boy develop, Toshinori suggested that Shinso was actually physically stronger than he was fast, and voted for shifting the emphasis of the training a little, just to see how he took to it. "Show me," was all Aizawa said. Then he stepped back, smirking a little when Toshinori gave him a stunned look, like this was not how he expected this particular conversation to go. The younger hero motioned curtly with his hand. Obliging him, All Might stepped forward and cleared his throat, as if on a dais instead of an empty training field still swirling with morning fog. "Well, you're putting emphasis on evasion, which is understandable, but Shinso is building muscle at a remarkable pace. Now he has enough weight to throw around, and considering his intelligence, you might consider Aikido." "Aikido," Aizawa repeated tonelessly, resisting the urge to undercut that generous intelligence comment. Shinso wasn't stupid, he reminded himself. He just chose to use his clear intelligence in stupid ways. Stupid, petty, irritating little ways that he couldn't shut down like he would with his other kids because he had to maintain his trust. Fuck, this was hard. Drawing his attention back, Toshinori nodded, gesturing carefully with his big hands as he spoke. "Yes, Aikido. Especially for honing his awareness of the movements and positions of his opponents, and flowing with them, instead of against them. Teaching him not to rush into it, as may seem heroic, but act as necessary. Especially as a method of provoking his marks into responding to his verbal prompts." The older hero chuckled, and the deep sound seemed to echo in the fog. "You may not know it personally, but Aikido can be a very frustrating martial art to someone who just wants to land a punch. It could definitely get a less loquacious villain to, loosen up and give young Shinso an opening to work his particular magic." Aizawa wanted to say, "I do Aikido." But aside from sounding defensive, he also wanted to see what Toshinori would do with the free rein. He motioned again with his hand, inviting, challenging. It was only when he took a sparring stance that Toshinori seemed to actually understand and consider what he was proposing. Aizawa kept his face neutral, even as his particular brand of wry enjoyment threatened to break the facade of professional curiosity. He'd spent the past week and a half doing nothing more than waking up at the ass crack of dawn to dance around and fake punches and take lip from a kid he couldn't technically send to detention. He could have a little fun, right? Across from him, Toshinori scrubbed at the back of his neck for a moment, glancing around the abandoned track, then relented with an odd smile. He bent to place their breakfast in as tidy pile as possible, then moved beside him and reached out. An oddly breathless moment hung between the two of them as they stood, slightly staggered, close yet untouching. Toshinori's big hands hovered just above the rough fabric of his jumpsuit, palms radiating a bewitching heat, and the hairs on Aizawa's neck stood rapturously to attention. He unconsciously counted the taller hero's deep, quiet breaths with his entire body. Then Toshinori patted his back briefly in warning, and Aizawa allowed himself to be bent a bit to assist the forthcoming explanation. "So, I'm the defending partner. Say you dodge someone running at you. You can easily use their momentum against them with a hand here." One big hand to his belly, Toshinori led him through the hypothetical throw with entirely too much caution, too much gentleness for his tastes. It was all the more tempting for the power the younger hero could already sense in his movements. Some sparking vestige of All Might's monumental strength condensed into brittle-looking limbs and the rare, hard glint in Toshinori's blue-black eyes that he could see over his shoulder. Intrigued, Aizawa decided to pick up the pace a little and be a villain worth fighting. I hate to tell you, but villains aren't as unskilled as they were in your day. I can easily break that kind of hold if I have any sort of hand-to-hand training, he countered shortly, making himself move just as slowly as his partner. He slipped around Toshinori's hand and torqued his tall body around, an arm locked across his front. Now I have access to the back of your neck. You do, Toshinori allowed with a faint laugh, a hot hand to his arm. How could he feel this man's heat through any amount of clothing? I might even have a knife. What are you going to do, hero? He intoned, more dolefully than threatening. And Toshinori's long, lean torso shifted just slightly in his grip. Testing both of them, knowing he could sling Aizawa's densely muscled body clean over his shoulder with one try. But that wasn't the point. Even if it was hard to keep track of the point, with their bodies pressed back to front, his breath quickening on the back of Toshinori's neck. Toshinori chuckled again, a little squeezed this time. I sincerely hope you don't have a knife, Aizawa-kun. I would think you a higher caliber of villain than that. But it won't matter, you see. If I go like this, I can just step aside. Not if I put pressure here, see? Barely. You try that on a rainy day and you're out for the count. You're relying too much on technique and not considering environmental factors. You're particularly demanding today, Sensei. Bear with me, because I haven't shown you what I would do with... Piece by piece, the two heroes pushed and pulled with strict care on the wet grass, trading holds and short explanations in silence of the brightening air, and trying to figure their best to force each other to the wet ground. The contrast between the shyness of Toshinori's grip and the strength in his long limbs resolved only after the younger hero attempted to knock his knees out from under him with a swipe of his leg, making it clear that he wouldn't accept any half-hearted display of mastery. Then, whipcord limbs cutting the morning air in a fluid arc, Toshinori roughly hauled him over the grass by his elbow, and a hand wrenched into the back of his jumpsuit, ready to lay him flat, and telling him in certain terms how he was going to do it. With such a hard grip, the first bit of real adrenaline licked under Aizawa's skin, and it was on. The younger hero planted a heel, turned and gladly shoved, pushing harder and moving quicker and breaking up Toshinori's explanations at every turn with sharp parries and jabs, giving him as little time to think as a villain would. He coughed out something between a laugh and a growl when his partner smacked him in the sternum with the flat of his palm and used the recoil to spin him around into a remarkably skillful headlock. The sheer difference in their heights was never so apparent as when Toshinori had to bend significantly in order not to choke him, or just let him balance on his toes without any leverage. The deep, breathy chuckle in his ear was also good. Do you yield, then? He asked softly, and Aizawa's skin did something ridiculous and electric from his ears down to his shaking thighs, raising every hair on the way down. Fuck no, he shot back, swallowed against the hard line of Toshinori's arm at his neck, and went for his knees. Again. It was a good match, overall. Half the time, Toshinori was trying to lock his joints or throw him from behind, so Aizawa took no pains to hide his growing amusement. He couldn't help but grin as he pulled dirtier and dirtier tricks, having entirely too much fun as he tested what Toshinori could actually counter and still stay within Aikido form. Soon, long limbs irrevocably tangled, Toshinori was laughing haltingly through his own explanations, likely shocked at the unsavory nature of his unexpected sparring partner. A few more pulls and botched throws, and it ended with them both splayed on the grass, Toshinori on his back and huffing and chuckling, with Aizawa atop of him.
Without ado, Aizawa locked the older man's thin arms high on his chest and clamped his knees around his hips, feet hooked over his knees. Conquered. Despite the relatively low impact physicality of it, Aizawa was warm and smirking by the end, feeling very victorious and more than a little aroused by all the groping and restraining and pushing. There was a reason he never went too hard into Aikido, after all. He knew himself a little too well for that. Beneath him, a faint, overwhelmed flush colored Toshinori's long neck and high cheekbones, which made it irresistible to firmly settle down on the older man's lap with a challenging little look and an arch of his brow. Toshinori's breath caught mid-laugh, and he shut his eyes and grinned, pure enjoyment starbursting out of his pinned supine form. Then the symbol of peace strained briefly against the grass, accidentally or not accidentally bucking his hips, and immediately collapsing in chuckles again at his own daring. Or the resulting sparks, which Aizawa also appreciated. It was a wildly inappropriate position, unjustified by the normal level of physical fumbling with this kind of sparring, made acceptable only by the fact that they were alone. So of course they fucking weren't. So, good morning. They both looked up, the moment shattered. Shinzo was standing 5 feet away, legs braced apart, with the most shit-eating grin on his face. I can come back later, if you're training Yagi-san to be a hero. Oh! The sound that came out of Toshinori was little more than a squeak, absolutely inappropriate for such a huge man. Releasing him instantly, Aizawa simply leaned back and lifted his arm to allow his much longer fellow to desperately roll out from underneath him and struggle to his knees in the grass, one hand reflexively clasped over his mouth. Unmoving, still on his haunches, Aizawa simply glared up at Shinzo, whose grin, if possible, only got wider.
"Didn't mean to interrupt anything,"
he muttered under his breath, like he very clearly did, kicking at the grass. Aizawa got to his feet and brushed off his knees, trying to telegraph the utmost degree of murderousness and warning and threat with his narrowed eyes alone. Today was not going to be easy. Why wasn't it ever easy? As Yagi-san coughed out a lame excuse and strode away as fast as his long legs could carry him, completely forgetting the little pile of onigiri he had initially brought, Shinzo had the balls to look Aizawa in the face and grin. You like him back? It was a statement, not a question, and one that made Aizawa's hackles raise faster than most filthy accusations. He barely resisted glancing back to see if Toshinori was solidly out of earshot. Where did this kid get off? Too bad I don't like you, he said through his teeth, steely and automatic. He raised a hand, taking not nearly enough gratification in the way Shinzo's pale eyes widened as a strip of scuffed carbon fiber wound around his fist with an audible snap. I think it's time to bring my capture weapon into the mix, if you're so bored that you would give up your training period to anyone who wanders by.
That looked like a different kind of training. You were definitely on top of him,
Shinzo continued gleefully, not to be dissuaded by threats alone. We were grappling. I won. Aizawa snorted, feeling his neck burn instantly as he cursed himself for even speaking. Was he actually defending himself? To a child? These extra early mornings were getting to him, not to mention all these sticky social connections and the simple accessibility that just wasn't present with his other students. This is why he didn't try to talk to people or be known or make friends. And so, the question remained, why the hell did he have so many of them? Across the green, Shinzo tilted his frizzled head, rocking back on his heels with his hands in his pockets. Huh? Grappling. Is that what they called it back in your day? Kinky. That ended it. Any further conversation was derailed, purposefully
and with force.
By Shinso's first lesson in escaping traditional and non-traditional tie methods, as demonstrated by a certain carbon fiber capture weapon. As strong as the temptation was, Aizawa didn't gag him. Barely. Still, the lingering chill was hard to shake. Did he just get read by a 14-year-old? Holy shit!
At lunch that day, Aizawa was unsurprised to find Toshinori waiting for him again. It seemed natural, or just appropriate, which he didn't think about at length. Instead, he focused on waving the man back down into his seat as Toshinori bolted upright the moment he entered the staff room. "I wanted to apologize for earlier," the older hero began, far too formally, clearly stressed. "I didn't mean to..." Aizawa just shook his head, taking the seat next to him and pillowing his cheek on his crossed arms with a loud sigh. Did Toshinori ever get tired of apologizing all the time? He blinked slowly, letting his vision unfocus. His body felt like an echo chamber, surreally empty and rattled by random aches, and he wondered about the possibility of a nap before homeroom and where his sleeping bag had gotten to. "I didn't mean to be inappropriate," Toshinori said under his breath, looking elsewhere. Or maybe at Snipe and Blood King, who were drowsing on the couch, a firmly heterosexual distance apart. Lucky bastards. Or to step on your instructional style, really. Between the two of us, you are definitely the authority. Aizawa snorted into his sleeve, and that seemed to be enough to assuage the older hero's worries. Whatever authority Aizawa had with Shinso was already vitally diluted and wasn't going to be demolished by seeing him wrestle with a fully grown man. Besides, given time to consider it between periods 1 through 3, he had accepted the conversation preceding it as a well-timed bit of wisdom. "I think you're right, by the way," Aizawa muttered into the table. He opened his tired eyes and met Toshinori's strange, dark gaze. "About Akido." "Oh, I'm right?" Toshinori chuckled, cheeks pinkening with endearing immediacy. He plucked at his tie. "High praise from someone like you." Whether it was the exhaustion or the shared trauma of a teen interrupting them, not really grinding on the campus green where they were employed as full-time teachers, Aizawa was completely comfortable, drowsing next to the older hero, like there weren't really any prickling standards to care about and sit up straight for. He closed his eyes again, just as Toshinori spoke up. "You could have told me you already knew it." It was Aizawa's turn to look over in foggy surprise. Toshinori smiled. "Your grip. You fell into it automatically, I think." Aizawa hummed after a moment, his version of no comment. Toshinori didn't seem to have anything further to say about coworker half-tricking him into a sparring session by omission of truth. Instead, the older hero seemed preoccupied with the grain of the table, gaze distant, and Aizawa was content to let it lie. Instead, he thought about that morning and all of its surprises. It was enjoyable to simply tussle and dig up a technique he hadn't practiced in a while. But even better was the impressive strength and actual finesse Toshinori demonstrated as they grappled. Although the intensity was modulated by his strict avoidance of Toshinori's side and the latter's reluctance to actually throw him, Aizawa felt like he had learned more about his fellow hero in those 10 minutes than in 10 weeks. Their sessions excluded from that number, of course. It was smooth, natural, and the scent of crushed grass still lingered in Aizawa's nose. There was no anger or even sharpness in the other hero's movements, despite his bony frame. It was all firm and purposeful, intelligent and responsive, educational, or at least demonstrative, for a man not naturally disposed to education. All of it gave him hope for All Might's teaching career, and somehow, an erection. He wasn't sure how the two worked together, but Aizawa couldn't deny that he was interested. Even more than before, which should have set off more alarms than it did. But he was too tired to think about deals and repercussions right then. What he wanted to think about was naps. "It's been a while since I sparred," Toshinori murmured at length beside him, almost too low to hear. Aizawa opened his eyes to find the older hero looking down pensively at his splayed fingers, pressing at his calloused palm. Before this, Aizawa didn't even know if All Might was capable of sparring in that sense of the word, considering his unbridled strength and attacks. Now he saw there was a great intelligence in Toshinori's body. This body, and All Might's. He had trained and he had expertise, not just brute force. "It could be good for you, in the long term," Aizawa mumbled back, barely fighting the tide of sleep. "Keep you active and your blood flowing, as long as you don't take it too hard." Toshinori made a grim sound, open hand closing into a wiry fist. Aizawa blinked over at him. He was belatedly hit by the realization that the older hero must hear things like that, day in and day out, about how to keep up his body by people who had no experience with the kind of discomfort he likely endured. Mental and physical both. "The scar." Aizawa regretted the thoughtless comment even before Toshinori spoke. "You sound like recovery girl," was all the symbol of peace said, glum. "If it helps, she's usually right," Aizawa offered with a shrug. Toshinori rolled his eyes. "It doesn't," he sighed. He was hiding in the fronds of his light hair, a sure sign of sulking. "My old master was usually right, for all the help it gave me at the time." "I think it's in the job description of being a teacher. Think of how hard it was for your master, now that you're in the same position and seeing all these kids do stupid shit that could have been avoided with a little common sense." He snorted, then shifted and frowned. Like a rare beast awoken from irreverence, his interest was needling him from every angle, and he couldn't bonelessly huddle in his arms anymore. Aizawa straightened and looked over, begrudgingly curious. "You had a master?" Toshinori nodded and hid a little more. Not positive signs, but he trusted the older hero to draw what lines he wanted concerning personal stories. Aizawa had already spilled his guts, after all, and maybe that earned him a little asking credit concerning the world's number one hero and his mysterious past. "Archaic," Aizawa commented, trying and failing to make light. He glanced over at the couch where their two resident butches were solidly snoring. They were, effectively, alone, if All Might was reluctant to share his personal story for fear of it getting around. Still, he kept his voice soft and low. "If you don't mind me asking, was this at UA?" "Oh, he... before and after. He taught here for just a year. For me." Toshinori laughed faintly and shook his head, fangs wagging. "I honestly don't know what you'd think of him." "What do you mean?" Another bit of laughter, curtailed by a clear struggle playing out on the older hero's gaunt face. "I don't know how the two of you would interact. I literally can't imagine you in the room together. Oh my."
"Seems like a character," Aizawa said at length, not knowing what to do with any of that.
"To say the least," he huffed, but there was a fond smile on his face. Toshinori tugged at his hair, thinking. "He was harsh but adept, merciless as he needed to be, I suppose, considering."
"Sounds like we would get along just fine," Aizawa said dryly.
That was how people tended to describe him, when they were feeling exceptionally charitable. He'd heard worse from his past students, and those were the ones he hadn't expelled. But Toshinori shook his head sharply.
"No, not at all. Not to me, I mean. He didn't really speak to me. Not the way that you treat the children."
He steepled his long fingers, fretting and looking aside.
"You focus so much on elevating them as individuals, working with their personal struggles and needs to teach them how to overcome, which I so appreciate. Maybe that's why it's taking so long for me to get the hang of it, really, because my master... His jaw was locked. He drew a sharp breath through his narrow nose and cleared his throat. Our training was very physical. Mostly physical. He corrected himself, speaking in clipped tones. Bruises on top of bruises. I feared him as much as I respected him, and I practically lived in bandages for 2 years. All because I needed to learn how to fight. It was Aizawa's first time seeing Yagi Toshinori genuinely uncomfortable. Stressed, he'd seen, even panicked and crumbling, but the sheer grinding discomfort radiating from him as he spoke in fragments about his time with his unnamed master was enough to make Aizawa's skin itch. The way he was hedging, there was something there. Something that hit the younger hero square between the eyes after no more than a minute of the halting monologue. He used to say it all the time, that I was useless, or that all I had was my body. Aizawa's eyes were too dry to stare the way he was, but he couldn't leave the whirl of stilted emotions locking up Toshinori's face. His voice trembled slightly, and he cleared his throat again, pressing at his own mouth with the tips of his fingers, like he shouldn't have said it. And I suppose it followed me. Shota thought. His first reaction, perhaps the expected reaction from anyone with a sense of empathy, was that it was a horrible thing to say. But that wasn't all. Trying to train a hero was rarely sunshine all the time. There were hard truths to face, to teach children that they couldn't hide in their strengths or ignore their weaknesses, but address both. To send a child out into the field with anything less was a death sentence, even as the odds were already stacked against them. Oh, Toshinori's voice was soft next to him, the slightest bit appraising. I can see I've caught you, sensei. Meeting the older hero's eyes briefly, Shoto wet his lips, frowning and weighing his next words carefully. Very carefully. If that was your core strength, then it makes sense to develop it, he said slowly, then looked up at him in earnest. But it shouldn't be to the exclusion of all else. There should be a balance of other encouragement and efforts to build a cohesive skill set, so it doesn't lead to hyper-focus and counterproductive pressure on that one skill. It's damaging to wrap a developing child's identity so tightly to one thing. It ensures failure, or at least disillusionment in the long term. That much was obvious, and a regrettably picture-perfect study of it was sitting a foot away from him, biting his lip as if he didn't want to believe it. Toshinori, All Might, had been his body for so long that part of Shoto was surprised he was still surviving beside him, withered in his voluminous clothes with his big hands clasped in his lap. But Toshinori just shrugged, looking up at the ceiling of the UA staff room. My teacher wasn't a teacher, really, he said pensively. He was a good man put in a hard position. Looking back, he went above and beyond, changing much of his life to fit the task of training me to be a hero. He tried his best. Of that, I'm positive. There was something in the other man's voice that implied that was all there was to it. That it was allowed to sit in the past without comment. And I'm positive you had more than just your body, Aizawa said firmly, almost sternly. Oh, do you think? Toshinori chuckled, rubbing at the back of his neck, shy if battered. I'm not sure. I was a pretty useless kid at the time, and slow to learn. Aizawa didn't like Toshinori using the same word, useless, as his master, and didn't know how to put that into words. Strangely enough, he also didn't know how to say it in a civilian space. Hearing that, something fierce and stern rose in him that he only let out in the dark, under the creaking sound of his capture weapon tightening. The feeling was unbelievably strong and staggeringly new in the same breath, as the push of it was familiar. Is this what Midnight felt whenever he shit-talked himself? So instead of facing that bit of weirdness down, Aizawa distracted Toshinori, catered to him.
They say a pretty face gets more work done at the very least, he said dryly, making sure to smile. He could say so much, even as he knew practically nothing. Aizawa didn't know how much the older hero's journey had cost him and taught him, although the scar on his side gave him an idea of the scale. But there was something golden and giving about Yagi Toshinori that came from the depths of his center. Something he was born with, that he must have always had. The only thing, really, that made his body a worthy vessel for the kind of peace he represented. A feeling, a hope that Aizawa was just beginning to understand, which he visualized as the irrepressible heat of the man's hands hovering above his bare skin. But Shota dispensed with any thoughts of cryptic talk when Toshinori bent with a big laugh, wild and sudden. Snipe and Blood King kicked each other on the couch, the latter jerking awake with wide, glazed eyes and a snort. A pretty face, Aizawa-kun. Are you flattering me? He exclaimed, then winked. Too bad so much has changed from those days. No wonder I'm having so much trouble keeping up with my academic workload. It all makes sense now. Aizawa elbowed him low on his hip. Shut up. Self-deprecation is a lazy and flawed style of relating that leaves others uncomfortable and in the position of assuring. And I don't have the energy for such a task, went unspoken, but Toshinori wasn't done. As though you aren't a master of the art. Besides, it's all I have left sometimes, he said with a faint sigh. You have plenty left, Aizawa snapped. It was all too late. Toshinori realized he had tripped a wire about the same time that Aizawa realized he had a wire. The younger hero turned away, body suddenly stiff. Shit. Aizawa felt, suddenly, painfully adrift, in new territory because of some weird sideways thing he had implied about what, exactly, Toshinori had and he didn't know enough to back into or out of it. So he just sat there, ears burning, not knowing what he'd said, much less what Toshinori had heard. Toshinori started to say, and stopped. The enormous hero bit his lip, looking very chastised, and it took Aizawa a second to realize why, even as the irritated automatic bit of discipline, don't fucking apologize, was already on his lips. Then Aizawa snorted, laughed. Actually laughed. They were pre-predicting each other with unnerving accuracy. He'd been working with Shinzo too much. Scolding came to him as easily as breathing. He needed a vacation. Or just 72 hours of uninterrupted sleep and some head. You're ridiculous, Aizawa said into his hand after a moment. His voice was awfully soft, but he told himself it was just exhaustion. We're ridiculous, maybe he meant to say. But he had always been so bad at plural pronouns in his life. And he certainly wasn't supposed to be using them here, with this man, the same way he wasn't supposed to be angry and cut to hear him speaking disrespectfully about himself. Annoyed, yes. Stricken? Offended? No. Not part of the fucking deal. I know, Toshinori said meekly, but honestly, tugging at one of his bangs with a dopey quirk of his mouth. He glanced over, under his pale lashes. I'll admit, I like hearing you laugh. Maybe that's why I was trying to be funny. Don't try, Aizawa said, lying to himself about how fond it sounded. He got up with a low groan and patted him on the back like they were co-workers. Just get something to eat. You look pale. Yes, recovery girl-sama, he said dutifully, so playfully that it made all kinds of feelings stir. Confetti feelings. Shut up, Aizawa said for the 50th time that day, wondering why everyone around him needed to hear it. Toshinori chuckling was a very nice sound, deep and warm. It followed him out of the staff room and into the slanting squares of sunlight in the hallway,
And he didn't realize he was smiling until he caught his own reflection in the long windows, almost unrecognizable for his shaved mug and easy expression. He blinked at himself, then snagged a jelly pack out of his belt and moved on to class. All things considered, Toshinori had probably won this round. Aizawa didn't really mind.